We begin the current topic of Masechta Shavuos, Daf Lamed. Begin on the top of the Amud, the Gemara continues with the next parak, the fourth parak of Masechta Shavuos, parak Shavuos HaEdus, which we had been speaking about up until now, Shavuos Bitui, which is a voluntary type of an oath. Then there's Shavuos Shav, which was an oath in vain. Related to that, Shavuos Sheker. And additionally, our parak begins the next topic of Shavuos, which is a Shavuos HaEdus, which the Mishnah opens up, Shavuos HaEdus, an oath of witnesses, which is if, let's say, somebody says, hey, you guys know testimony for me, please come to court for me, and they swear that we do not know testimony for you, and if it turns out that they were lying, so that we're going to see that they're liable to bring a carbon Shavuos, as the Pasuk says, V'yikahei, v'shama kol Allah, that they hear the voice of the oath, which is adjuring them to take, to say testimony, and they swear they don't, and it turns out they were lying, then they're chayim, a carbon for that false oath. So that's a unique halacha regarding Shavuos HaEdus, the oath of testimony. That qualifies the Mishnah, in contrast, the Mishnah in the previous stuff, which was saying Shavuos Bitui, Shavuos Shav, applies by all these types of variables. Shavuos HaEdus is only appropriate to those who are legitimate for testimony. So therefore, Nehagis Ba'anashim, V'lei Ba'anashim. It applies to men, not to women, because the Pasuk in Birkei over there says, who aid, and that he's a witness, which is someone that's fit to say testimony, in contrast to a woman, as the Gemara will learn that from the Pasuk, v'amdu shnei anashim, that is only men who say testimony and not women. So since they cannot say anyway, even if they know and they swear to that, they're not liable for the halacha of Shavuos HaEdus. So too, it only applies b'rechaikim le'b'rechaivim, by non-relatives, by distant people, and not by relatives, because relatives are invalid to say testimony, like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Chav Zayin Beis, where there it qualifies who's considered relatives that are prohibited to say testimony, and therefore they would not qualify for the Shavuos HaEdus. So to b'ksherim le'b'psulim, it's only for people that are fit to say testimony, not that are invalid, for example, like a goslin, someone that's a robber who's biblically invalid, as the Pasuk says in Shemais Chav Gimel, Atoshes Eit Chamas, do not place a thieving witness to say testimony. So again, all these individuals are not valid for testimony, so even if they know and they swear we don't know, they're not liable for the oath of Eidus. Moreover, it only applies to someone that's fit to say testimony, which the Gemara is going to explain what's that excluding. Seemingly, we already excluded everything by saying women, relatives, psulin. Now, continues the Mishnah, this liability of swearing falsely about knowing testimony is bifnei bezin, v'shloi bifnei bezin. It's both if the person takes the oath in court or out of court, if mipi atzmai, if he swears by himself, where he says, I swear I don't know testimony for you, and then it turns out later that he was lying. But mipi acherim, but if it's through others, for example, if let's say the claimant says that I'm making you swear, I'm taking out an oath on you that you should come and say testimony for me, and the witnesses respond and say, we don't know testimony for you, but they never said the oath itself from their own mouths, but they're responding to his oath, then in chayavin, then they're not going to be liable at sheikh for behen bebezin until they deny it in court itself. Because like the Pasuk in Yikrehei over there says, im lo yagid, if they don't say, etc., which is tells you that only in the place where they could have said, which is in court, then that helps, because the Pasuk itself is talking about mushbim b'peachem. It's talking about when they heard the koilo Allah, where the person, the litigant, is saying, hey, you guys know testimony from me. I'm making you guys swear that you don't know testimony, because I know you really do, and they deny. So although they don't say the shavu from their mouth, that's what the Pasuk is saying, since it's b'mokim marun lahagid, to say testimony, then they're going to be liable, even though it's mushbim b'peachem. That's divrei Meir. Because in contrast, when it's mipi atzmai, when he says the oath himself, Remeir learns out in the Gemara that from Gzeir Shava that would apply to be liable even out of Bezin. Now, Bachamayim, they disagree. They say, no, bei mipi atzmai, bei mipi acherim, whether he takes the oath himself, whether someone else is taking the oath on him, in Chayavin, there's no liability for the witnesses of the Shavuos HaEdus, at sheichva ben mebezin, until they deny it in court itself. Now, continues the Mishnah, Chayavin, and the witnesses are going to be liable a carbon oyla v'yayrid al zadin hashvua. Even if, which is unlike generally any other halacha, generally when someone does deliberate, there's no carbon, the carbon is going to do b'shegig, this is one of the few exceptions of Shavuos HaEdus, where even though he's deliberate, he knows testimony, and still he swears that he doesn't, he's going to bring a carbon oyla v'yayrid, because the pasuk doesn't say v'nelam, as it says like by the other Shavuos, by the other halachas of carbon oyla v'yayrid, where the person was unaware. Since it doesn't say it, tells us that even if he did it deliberately, he's mechayev a carbon oil of the yard. Or, a similar case, v'al shegagasa, there was an element of error. imzadun ha'edus, together with deliberateness of the testimony. In other words, they were deliberate. Let's say in this second case, which is similar to the first case. They know that they know testimony for this person. What they, however, were in error was regarding the carbon, which is, they weren't aware that if they're going to swear falsely regarding known testimony, they're going to have to bring a carbon el v'yared, which is essentially the same thing that we said on Daf Chavav, in the beginning of Amud Beis, regarding the Gemara asked, how do you have a case of shigiyas bitur l'sha'avar? We said you have to be ha'adam mishmur, you have to be aware of your oath when you're taking it. The problem was, we said, and if we said that the shvus bita is both for the future and for the past, when he says, I ate or I didn't eat, do you know that you ate or you didn't eat, or you do not know? If you know, you're bemazed, you're deliberate. If you don't know, then you're not ha'adam mishmur, you're not aware, you're not cognizant at the time you're taking the oath. Which the Gemara explained, it's talking about where he says, I know that this oath is forbidden. So he's ha'adam mishmur, he's conscious. But I don't know that I'm going to be liable a carbon. Regards to that, he was a shagig that we said qualifies to make it into a shkaga for shvus bitui. But we're saying that for regarding the halachas of the shvus edus, that would also qualify for a liability of carbon oil of a yirid, where he knows he's saying false oath because he knows testimony. But he doesn't realize that he's going to have to bring a carbon. That will also qualify for the liability of carbon oil of a yirid. So whether he does everything deliberately, or if he swears falsely regarding the oath deliberately, but he's unaware that he's going to bring a carbon, he'll have to bring a carbon in those two situations. But they're not liable if they're totally in error. And that is, they don't know that they're chayav a carbon, and moreover, they don't even know that they're saying that they know testimony for this person. And they're swearing, yeah, I don't know testimony for you. Then they recall, then they were anusin, because they didn't know that they were swearing falsely. They actually thought what they were saying is correct. Like we said, on sena libcha, you think you're saying the truth, that would not qualify for the liability of a carbon el b'yared on swearing falsely regarding known testimony. Concludes the mission like we were alluding to. Umahin chayov and azad and ashwa, and what are they liable regarding the deliberateness of the oath, which is if the person swears falsely when he's aware that he's doing something wrong, that he's going to be chayav a carbon on the shvua. That's carbon el b'yared. What is their liability? That's what the mission is saying. Generally, when you do something, let's say, benazid, we said you get a malchus, but not a carbon. This is an exception, shvus edus, even when he does it deliberately, whether, again, it means the whole thing deliberately, or the shvu itself is deliberately, but that's what the liability is, a carbon el b'yared, for this false oath regarding known testimony regarding someone else. Now, the Gemara clarifies the opening halacha of our Mishnah, Menonimili, from where do we know that women are invalid to say testimony? And again, that's why we said that when it says in the Pasuk, regarding the Shavuos Eidus, it's not going to apply to women because it has to be something or someone that's fit to say testimony. So as Gemara, the Talmud could learn the Braisa. The Pasuk says in Devarim, it says that V'omdu Shnei Anoshim, and it talks about the halacha of a court case, says that the two men stand. Says the Braisa, Be'edim HaKas Medaba. The Pasuk is talking about the witnesses, and the reason that how we know it's talking about the witnesses is because previously the Pasuk said, Kiyokum eit chomes be'ish. If there's going to be a thieving witness who's going to stand up against a person, so we see that's talking about a witness, and then it says right after that, it says, V'amdu, that the two men get up. So, says the Braisa, that we're talking about witnesses. And that the Braisa says, is that so? Ata oime be'edim, is it really talking about witnesses? Oyein ele be'bali dinin. Maybe it's talking about the litigants. V'amdu shnei anoshim, because if one reads the Pasuk, in the Vam Yutes Yedayin, it does sound like the litigants. It says, V'amdu shnei anashim, if the two men stand up, Ashalehem Ariv, who have the dispute, Lefnei Hashem, Lefnei Akan, V'shaifte Mashiba Yomahem, they get up and they have the court case. So, how do I know it's talking about witnesses? Maybe it's talking about the litigants. And that says the Braisa, no, because Keshu'emir, when the next words in the Pasuk are Ashalehem Ariv, which have the dispute, so Haribali din Amr. So, it already mentions the litigants. In other words, Hamani Mekayim V'amdu shnei anashim, what do I fulfill by having the words and the two men stand up? Don't say that. Just say that if the men Ashalehem Ariv, why is it the Amdu Shnei Anashim? It sounds like two different types of people. And that says the Brice of Eid Makasa Madaba. So therefore, it must be talking about a different group of people, the group of witnesses. And it says over there, Anashim, to teach you that it's only by men and that women do not qualify for testimony. Now, continues the Brice of Ibn Afshachlema, and if you want to say, in other words, if you want to refute this proof, and that's just the Braisa, I have an explicit Gezeirah Shava that it is talking about witnesses. Because Nemekan Shnei, in this Pasuk, it says, V'amdu Shnei Hanoshim, the two men get up. V'nemelahan, it says, earlier it says the word Shnei, when it says, Al Pi Shnei Edim, based on two witnesses. So Malaham Be'edim, just like over there explicitly, the pasuk talking about Shnei Eitim, witnesses. Afkan here also where it says Shnei, it's talking about Be'edim, by witnesses. So therefore we know explicitly from the Gezeirah Shavah, it's talking about witnesses, and it says Ha'anashim, which are men and not women. Now ask the Gemara, Mayim Nafshach Leimer. What does it mean, the Brisa, if you want to say? In other words, what could we have rejected the first approach by saying, okay, I'll have a Gezeirah Shavah for you? So that says the Gemara, because Bechitim, if you're going to say, there's no Vav. It doesn't say, okay, the two men get up, and those who have the dispute, it doesn't say a Vav. So, Kule Krabba Balidin Mishtari, it would sound like that, as we said, the simple literal translation of the Pasuk, that it's all talking about one group of people, the men who have the Riv, which are the litigants. So therefore, maybe it's not talking about the witnesses. That's why it says I have a gzeirah shavah. It says over here shnei, but nem alahal shnei. It says over there shnei. Malahal be'edim is like over there to my witnesses. Avkam be'edim here it's also to my witnesses. And again, once we know to my witnesses, hanashim men excludes women from testimony. And again, since they're not valid to be witnesses, so neither are they valid for the liability of shvuas edus because they're not roy lahagid in the first place. That's one approach. And the Gemara brings another two brises that say a similar type of idea and reject it on different grounds. Tani yidichlin another brise. It says in the pasuk of Amdur Shnei Anashim, it says that the two men get up. It says the Brisa, Be'edim Makas Medabit, from the witnesses. And that says the Brisa, Hero, Satoim Be'edim, is it really from the witnesses? Maybe it's from the litigants. And that says the Brisa, Amr, you're going to say, what? Bechishnaim, Boin, Ladin, how can we talk about the litigants? Only two people, it says Shnei Anashim, the two men get up. What? Only two litigants come to court, Shleisha, Im, Boin, Ladin, you never have three litigants coming to court? What? A court case only between two individuals? And therefore, it must be to the witnesses, because witnesses are two people. Litigants, why should we say two? And that says the Brisa, and ve'im nafshach leim, and if you want to say and reject that proof, I have a gzeirah shavah for you. Nemekan shnei, here it says shnei, v'nem lahan shnei, it says over there shnei, ma'alam be'edim, just like over there to my witnesses, like we said, the pasuk shnei edim, avkam be'edim, it's also to my witnesses. And again, here also the Gemara asks on this Brisa, ma'im nafshach leim, what would we have said to reject the first proof? Seemingly it's correct. Litigants are not just two people, must be to my witnesses. And that says the Gemara, no, v'chitim, if you're going to say, the pasuk is talking about the two different parties. There's the claimant and there's the defendant. Even when there's many claimants and there's many defendants, but when you're talking about one court case, all the claimants are called one and all the defendants are called another one. So that would make sense why shnei hanashim would mean the two different parties. And therefore, maybe it's talking about the litigants and not the witnesses. Therefore, the Brisa had to say here also, Nemekan Shnei, Venemalan Shnei, Malan Be'edim, just like over there, it's by witnesses. I've come Be'edim here also, it's Tomat, witnesses. Third Brisa, Tanya Dechlinna Brisa. Again, it says in the Pasuk of Amdu Shnei Anoshim that the two men get up. Be'edim HaKasim Da, but someone by witnesses, which again teaches us a few different halachas. First of all, that witnesses have to stand up, Amdu. Also, Hanoshim, like we said, it says that testimony applies to men, not to women. So it's Tomat, witnesses. And that says the Brisa HaTo'im Be'edim, is it really talking about witnesses? Or in El Babali Dinan, maybe talking about the litigants? Amrit, now that's what says the Brisa, but how could you say it's talking about the litigants? T'chian Noshim Boyin Ladin, what, you think only men come to court? Noshim In Boyin Ladin, and the woman doesn't have to have a court case? Obviously it can be talking about litigants, then why would it say just men and not women? And therefore it must be talking about witnesses. On here also this Brisa says, V'naf Shechlema, but if you have some, if you want to reject that proof, I can tell you an explicit gzeirah shavah. Nemekan shnei, v'nem alhan shnei, ma'alahan be'edim, just like over there to my witnesses, avkam be'edim, here also says to my witnesses. Here also the Gemara asks, ma'im nafshach lo'im, what could we have used to reject that? Seemingly it's correct. If it's to my litigants, why would it be men, not women? And that says the Gemara, because of b'chitim, if you're going to say that isha lav orcha, it's not common for a woman to go to court to be a litigant. And that's why it says, ha'anashim, men and not women. Why? Why isn't it common for women, and therefore the pasuk didn't use women; they only use men? Mishum, like, because like the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Kal kavuda bas melech panima," the glory, the honor, the dignity of the princess, the daughter of the king, is to be inside, not to be outside in front of all the people in the courthouse. And therefore, maybe it is talking about the litigants, and that's why it says only men. And that says the bride. So that's why I say nemekan shnei and nemelahan shnei. It says over here two, and it says over there two. Ma'alahan be'edim, just like that pasuk over there is talking about witnesses. Avkam be'edim here also is talking about witnesses. Now the Gemara continues now. Tarn bon linda bride. So the pasuk that we were bringing regarding we had brought it in because we were showing that regarding testimony, which the pasuk of amder shnei anoshim we said is talking about the witnesses. So we see from there that it's men and not women, and that's why our opening halach of our mishnah shuas edis is neges ba'anoshim v'loy b'anoshim. But now the Gemara brings the same words in the pasuk, v'amdashnei hanashim, that the two men have to stand up, says the Tanakhama, Mitzvah lebali din and sheyamdu. That teaches us that the litigants have to stand, because although we prove that, yeah, the pasuk's also talking about the witnesses, but it's also talking about the litigants, because the next words in the pasuk are asher lehem hariv. So although you're reading who the shnei anashim, just say v'amdu asher lehem hariv, so that's referring also to the witnesses, but v'amdu is also going on asher lehem hariv, and therefore the litigants themselves also have to stand during the court case. In contrast, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and as we'll see his full opinion on Amud Beis, he says, Shemati, I heard, if the judges want to let the litigants sit, they could sit. Not like the Tanakhama saying that they have to stand. But Ezu also, what is forbidden, is what is problematic is, no, they both don't have to stand, but problematic is if one is standing and one is sitting. That is, it shouldn't look like to the disputant that as if they're honoring his colleague more than him, where he gets to sit and he has to stand, and he's not going to be able to claim and talk appropriately in the court case because he's going to feel like there's some type of discrepancy over here, and he's not going to be able to speak clearly. And so to Echamidaber Kol Tzarkav Echadem Alakatsa Derechav, one of them he lets him talk, and this guy he stops him. That's what becomes problematic. But for everyone to stand, that doesn't have to be. They could both be sitting. And the Gemara continues, similarly, we find that as a source in the Pasuk. Tana Bar Lan, the Braisa, the Pasuk said Vikra, which once the Gemara brings this first halacha, which is regarding Rabbi Huda's opinion, it brings different interpretations in this same Pasuk. It says, in Vayikra, Bitzedek Tishpat Amesecho, with justice, with righteousness, you should judge your fellow. What that teaches is like Rabbi Huda taught, you can't have one guy sitting, one guy standing. You let one guy talk as long as he wants to. Another one says, no, stop. That is learned out from it. That's not betzedek. That's not with justice, where you're going to differentiate and have a discrepancy between one and the other. That's Rabbi Yehuda holds. He says he doesn't need to have both standing the whole time, but they can both be sitting. Just you can't have one standing, one sitting. You can't differentiate. A different interpretation in that same pasuk is "Betzedik tishpat amisecha" is "Have done es chaverch lekavschos." You should judge your friend according to the most meritorious interpretation you could have. And here we're not talking about litigants with a real judge. We're talking about someone who sees his friend do something, which he could look at it in a negative way or in a positive way. So the Torah is telling you so that you should incline towards the merit and don't suspect him of having done the sin. That's what Betzedik Tishpat Amisecha. You should judge your friend with righteousness. Tanya Rav Yosef, Yosef told a Braisa a different interpretation. When it says Betzedik Tishpat Amisecha, what he's stressing on is the word amisecha, which you should judge with tzedek. Amisecha is am sheitcha. The word amisecha could be broken up into two words: the people that's with you, but toiru uvemitzes. Who's that referring to? Those type of people, hishtadul adonu yofa, you should be diligent to judge them very well, which the Gemara is going to explain. That means to say is take care of his court case first. And that is, if there's two court cases coming in front of you and one of them is dealing with a Talmudic scholar, first take care of his court case and then go on to the next one. So that's what I said. But said the Tishpat Amisecha, you should get the charity of the judgment of the court case should be with Amisecha, the Am Sheitcha B'Terev Mitzvah, the Talmud Chacham. He's the one that you should take care of his court case first. As the Gemara illustrates with the following incident, Rav Ula Bereid Rav Eloi, Havalei Din Kamed Rav Nachman. Rav Ula had a court case in front of Rav Nachman. So Shalach Rav Yisuf, sent along with Rav Ula when he was going to court by Rav Nachman, he sent along the message to Rav Nachman, Ula Chavareinu, our friend Ula, Amis B'Terev Mitzvah. He's one of those people that is laden with Torah and mitzvahs. So Amos Rav Nachman said to himself, has this inner dialogue, he says, L'may Shalachli, why did Rav Yisus send me this message? L'chanufalei, to flatter him? Well, that's what he wanted, say, he's our guy, you know, look out for him. But I'm a judge, I'm supposed to be impartial. And then he said to himself, oh, I know why he told me that he's a Talmud Chacham. L'mishra b'tigre, like we explained, if there was another court case at that time, I should first take care of his court case, and that's what's learned out from Betzedek Tishpat Amisecha, and then move on, which, as we had learned that it was Rav Yisrael with Tota Braisa, and then move on to the other court case. Or as we continue to Amud Beis, Inami, another reason why possibly he told me he's a Talmud Chacham, is L'shuda D'dayni, where there's certain court cases that it's not contingent on any testimonials or on any oath. It doesn't seem to be clear which way the judgment should go. Rather, it depends on what is the gut feeling of the judge to know which one's right, which one's wrong, who's going to win, who's not. Like the Gemara brings in the Masechet Ksuvos of Pehei Amud Beis, where there was someone who said before he died, my asses go to Tovia. But which Tovia? Two Tovia came after and says he meant me. So the Gemara says over there, Shuda the Dainu, where the word Shuda means, like we find in the Az Yashir, Yarav Ayam is Shadi Bayama, which is, it's the throwing of the judge. It's where he decides to throw his weight, where whichever one the judge felt that he probably meant is one who he gives the gift to. Or a similar type of situation where if there's two documents of a sale of the same piece of property on the same day, we don't know who's the one that he gave the sale to first, so we say Shuda the Dainu. So he says, he wants me to know that he's a Talmid Chacham, where it would seem to be that that's the one who was meant to be, let's say, by the case of the document. So when he says, my assets go to this person, a Talmid Chacham, as the Gemara says over there, versus a relative, versus a neighbor, he means the Talmid Chacham. That's why it's important for me to know that the Talmid Chacham, not to be, to do Chanif, not for flattery, but again, either to have his court case go first, or because of Shuda the Dainu. Now, Amma'ula, he qualifies, he says, Machlekes, this Machlekes we brought just before from Yudah Chachamim, if they need a stand, or, no, you don't have to stand, you could sit, just you can't have one standing, one sitting, their Machlekes was Bebali Din. Regarding the litigants, Chachamim said they have to stand, Yudah said, no, they could sit. Regarding the witnesses, there says Ula that everyone agrees they have to stand. Because like the Pasuk says in Devarim, we quoted this in Amud Aleph, V'omdu shnei anashim, which we said that definitely refers to the witnesses, and we say that they have to stand. So the witnesses have to stand. The Machlekes was only regarding the litigants. Moreover, Amar Avun, he qualifies and he says, the whole Machlekes was b'shas ma'asamam. Their disagreement was during the deliberations. B'shas gemar din, but during the conclusion of the court case by the verdict, divrei kol dayanim b'shiva u'bali din mamid. There, everyone agrees that the judge has to be sitting and the litigants have to be standing. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, and that's how he's going to explain the pasuk. If even if we're talking about that Ashalema Rib is talking about the disputant and says va'amdu, then they have to stand. But he disagrees in his machlokes naman alef regarding the masaman. How do we know they have to be standing during the gemar din? Like the pasuk says in Shemais, says va'yeshev Moshe lishpat desa'am, that Moshe Rabbeinu sat when he was coming to judge the people by the verdict, v'yamar am, the people are standing, so you see, by the verdict, they have to stand. Lashon Achrina, a different version of this halacha, like we said, machlekes b'shas ma'asa ma'an. Their whole machlekes to read Nacham was during the deliberations. Avashas k'mar din, but during the verdict, divrei hakol, they everyone agrees, dayon b'yeshiva bal din b'amida, that the judges have to sit and the litigants have to stand. So the first version brought it from that pasuk in Shemais. This version brings it because da'edim k'mar din damu. That when the witnesses say their testimony, that's at the end of the deliberations. That's like when the verdict is coming, with the witnesses prove it. Witnesses, okay, court case over. And uksib, who it says regarding the witnesses, that they have to stand. So you see that an element of verdict, of gemar din, needs standing. But witnesses, so too, that when the litigants are having their gemar din, they also have to stand. Now, the Gemara brings a story relating to this idea about the judges having to sit and the litigants having to stand. The base of Rav Huna, the wife of Rav Huna, after her husband Rav Huna had passed away, Havaladina kamed Rav Nachman, so no one's representing the family, her husband passed away, so she had to go to court in front of Rav Nachman. So Amar Rav Nachman said, Hey Chanavid, what should I do? If I stand up in front of her when she walks in, Mistat Matanosi de Baldina. So then her litigant is going to feel like, uh-oh, this is a one-sided court case. I see you standing up for this lady. He's not standing up for me. I'm not going to be able to get along over here. It's going to cause a whole breakdown of his ability to represent himself. So I can't stand up. On the other hand, if I don't stand up for her, that's problematic. Because the wife of a Talmid Chacham has the same halachic status like Talmid Chacham, and just like I have to stand up for Talmid Chacham, I have to stand up for her too. So what do I do? That was his quandary. So Amar Lo Lishama, he said to his attendant the following resolution. He says, Say the Afrikalai Bar Avza, go out and throw a goose at me. Vishadi alavoy ve'ekum, and then throw it at me and I'll have to get up. Now, the disputant is not going to realize that I'm standing up because of her. He's going to think it's because the goose is at me. I'm going, oh, there's a goose, and then he stands up. So that will take care of it. I'll be standing up, but it will not be Saisan Tanasi because he's not going to realize I'm doing it for her. Now on this, the Gemara asks, or actually according to Rashi, it seems to be a general question. But we quoted just before from Rav Huna that he said, Machlekes b'shas ma'asamam. The whole Machlekes is regarding during the time of deliberations, in regards to if the litigants have to stand or not. But he said, but during the verdict, he said, Divrei HaKol, everyone agrees, two parts. Tayonim b'yeshiva, the judges have to be sitting, u'baladin b'amid, and the litigants have to be standing. So the question essentially is, if a judge is coming to honor a litigant, how could he do it? Problem is, during the time of the verdict, he's not going to be able to be honoring the, let's say, the Eishes Chavar or the Chavar, whatever it is they have to honor, because the halacha requires him to sit. But the other hand, wasn't there Rav Nachman before? He had a similar quandary where, but on the other hand, I have to stand because I have to give honor. So says the Gemara, you do somewhere in the middle. The Yosef command the Sharim Asani, you sit like someone who's untying his shoes. The Amar, and he says, during when he's doing that, Ishplay Niatazaka, Ishplay Niatachayiv, says, you win and you lose. In other words, he should not be standing nor sitting, rather like someone who's bending over to untie his shoelaces, where it's like a leaning over type. So he's not standing, so he's fulfilling the halacha of the judge having to sit, but neither is he sitting, so he's fulfilling the halacha of having to stand for that person, whether it be Talmid Chacham or the wife of Talmid Chacham. Continuing on related discussion, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Bar Afuna, he says, Hay Tzuvim Rabbanim Ham Aretz. If there's a Talmid Chacham and an ignoramus, the Isluhu Dinim Ha'adad Adi, who are having a court case with each other, two litigants. So the halacha is, Meisvinya Leila Tzuvim Rabbanim, we have the Talmid Chacham sit down, well, Ham Aretz Nami Amin Leitiv, and the Ham Aretz, we also tell him that he could sit. Now, V'ikoy, but if he stands, less than bother, we're not bothered by that. We have to honor the Talmid Chacham, who is a litigant, to tell him to sit. But we have him sit. Ham Aretz, we tell him he could sit. If he stands, that we're not bothered by. Now, the Gemara brings a related story to this halacha, that Rav Bar Sharavya, Havali Dina Kamed Rav Papa, he had a court case in front of Rav Papa. So Rav Bar Sharavya was Talmid Chacham, Rav Papa had him sit. Now, he also said to his disputant that he could sit too. Now, asa shlich the beidin, but then the agent of the court came and batish bay, and va'uk milam aretz, he kicked him, the disputant, and that who was an ignoramus, and made him stand up. But and Rapapa didn't say no, sit down. So that asked the Gemara, hey, how did they do this? For mestas mentan osay, but he's closing up his claims because he's saying, wait a second. They make me stand up, and this guy's sitting? Oh, forget about it. This is totally lopsided. And he doesn't even bother because he's like, they're not even here. It's totally biased, this whole court case. So how did he let him have to stand and not have him sit down? That Amr Rapap himself says, which this incident was with him, no, Meima Amr, the disputant, is going to say, no, Ihu Ha'aisvan, him, the judge, Rapap, he had me sit. Shlichu Tulemefais Minoi, the gabbai, the attendant, He's not appeased by me. I never did anything good for him. He's not my friend. But okay, he's not the guy who's judging the court case. And if although I'm standing because he's the guy who takes charge, is always the clerk who's the small man who always needs to assert himself. But the judge, he's not going to favor one way or the other. And therefore, that wouldn't be misasim tanosi. Another teaching from Amar Rabbi Bar Avuna, he says, Hayt suvim rabban va'ama oretz. Regarding Talmid Chacham and ignoramus, the islu din b'hadi adadi, like we said before, that they have a court case one with the other. So the Talmid Chacham should not go beforehand and sit down in front of the judge before his disputant comes, even if he's just sitting there silently. It gives the wrong appearance. It looks like he's preparing his claims in front of the judge, which is going to cause his disputant to suspect him as if he's giving some preamble to, he's telling the judge, you should just know before he comes, this is really what's going on. And it gives the appearance as if he's violating, as the Gemara is going to say later on, like Sisa Shema Shav, which is problematic for someone to say the claims first. So even though he's not saying anything, he's just sitting, but it gives the wrong appearance, and therefore he shouldn't even do that. Now, however, qualifies the Gemara, but we didn't say this unless, if he doesn't have a set time to learn with this judge, who's his Rebbe. But if he has a set time where the judge is his Rebbe and he always learns with him at this certain time, it just happens to be his court case with this other person that's in front of his Rebbe a few minutes later, then less lumbar, then we're not bothered. That's okay, he's sitting there before his disputant comes. Because the disputant is just going to say, oh, he's just busy with his shir, that is his chavrusa shaft he has with him, his learning time with him, but he's not going to be concerned as if he's telling him stuff, which is being over on Lysisa Shemashav. Another teaching from Amar Rabbi Rav Huni says, "Hayt suvim rabbanon the yoda besadusa." Regarding a Talmudic scholar who knows testimony, but vezile be milsa, it's degrading for him. Lemezel lebedayano dezutim and elasudikame. It's degrading for him to have to go to a lower type of court to say testimony. It's like, I'm going to go say testimony. It's the stature that he has. It's not befitting that he has to go ahead and shtel tzu and present himself as a witness in front of that lower court. So he says, Leilazel doesn't have to go. And the Amr of Shisha Bari David says, we have a Tanoic source for this halacha in the Mishnah Masechet Bava Metzia. Mishnah says, Matzah Saka Kupa, if somebody finds a sackcloth or a box, which is halacha of Mitzah of Shabbos Aveda, but Ve'in Darki Lito. It's not normal for this person, this venerable person, to carry a sackcloth or a box in the street. Even if it was his own, he would never carry something like that. Says the Mishnah Harizah Leitel, he doesn't have to take it. He does not have the prohibition of Leisucha Lesalam, of not turning a blind eye, because actually, the Pasuk alludes to this halacha, because it says Vesalamta, which the Gemara B'Metzia Daf Lamed Aleph learns, that actually, the Pasuk is telling you that you will turn the blind eye, meaning that sometimes, that's what you're supposed to do, that you could turn the blind eye, and you don't have to return it. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies this, and says, Hanim Il B'Mayna. But that halacha was only said regarding monetary law. That's regarding a Shabbos Aveda, or regarding testimony for a monetary case. Ava b'isur, but regarding prohibitory law, let's say there's a woman coming in front of a sage to permit her to marry. And this student knows that, no, this aguna, that although the sage wants to permit her, he knows that the husband's still alive. There the Pasuk says in Mishlei, ein chachma. Then there's no, we don't consider the wisdom, vein tfuna, and no understanding, vein itza, and there's no counsel of neged Hashem that's opposite Hashem. Meaning, kamakim shish bechil Hashem, any place where there's going to be a desecration of Hashem regarding a violation of an iser, in chalkin takavad l'rab. Then we do not give any honor to the rav, to the rabbi, and although we said that the rabbi has to have certain kavod, he doesn't have to say edus in the lower court, he doesn't have to do a Shabbos Aveda, but if a student knows something which is not going to be, it's going to go against the honor of his rabbi, he's going to say, I'm sorry, rabbi, but you're wrong, because you can't let this woman get married because the husband's still alive, then one has to say that. Then we don't give any honor to the rabbi when there's going to be a desecration for God's name. Now the Gemara brings a story that Rav Yemer have yodale sadus lamazutra, relating to the halachas we mentioned before. The Rav Yemer new testimony from Azutra. So Asa Kameda Amemer came in front of Amemer, where that's where the court is. Amemer was the judge, and Mazutra was one of the litigants. And Rav Yemer new testimony from Azutra. So Amemer was isvina lekula. He had everybody sit down. The witnesses, the litigants, everyone was sitting. So Amar Ravashi Amemer. Ravashi said to the judge, Amemer, why are you doing this? Vama Ula, but Ula said, as we qualified before, the whole machlek is between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Even Rabbi Yehuda says they could sit. He was only told by the Bali Din and by the litigants. So I understand why you're going to let Mazutra sit, because he's the litigant. But Adam regarding the witnesses, which are what Rabbi Yemer is, Divya Kol Bami, them and agrees has to stand. So how are you sitting him down? On that Omalei, Amema said to him, look, hi, Ase. This halacha of Amdu, that the witnesses have to stand, is a positive commandment. But hi, Ase. And this halacha of having actually the Talmud Chacham, who's the witness, sit down is also a positive commandment. Because it says, Es Hashem lekechatira, Hashem yigad you should fear, which the Gemara b'makabed of Memal from Beis says, what's Es? Comes to Kul Tamid Chacham. You have to honor him too. So we have a mitzvah saying that they have to sit. We have a mitzvah saying that they have to stand. So which one do we choose? As say the covered Torah of a positive commandment that applies to the honor of Torah, that's better, and therefore that takes precedence. Although the halacha says they have to stand, the mitzvah say of Es Hashem lekechatira tells us to honor Talmid Chachamim that they should sit, and therefore I'm having them sit. Now the Gemara brings on this topic, and will also relate back to the halacha that we're mentioning now, the Gemara brings Simon and a mnemonic, which are all interpretations of the pasuk Midvash Shekatech, which actually continues on to the next stuff, and that's where the halacha we're discussing before comes back. The Simon is Sanigrain, defensive, Bur, Nigdoremis, Gizelash, theft, Mirma, deceit, where these are all different halachas that are learned out from the same pasuk. Turn about when the brisa. Minayin ledain, from where we know regarding a judge, shalayasa sanigarin ledvarb. He should not become defensive for his opinion. In other words, if let's say he makes a judgment, and then he's feeling a little bit in doubt, that he thinks maybe he made a mistake. From where do we know that he should not try to support with proofs to maintain his opinion, because he's embarrassed to say, I made a mistake. Rather, he should try to find every approach possible to come out with the truth, even if it's going to be that he made a mistake. As Tam Alem, that's the Pasuk teaches, Midvash Sheket Terchuk. From the word of falsehood, one should distance themselves, meaning although there's legitimacy to what he's saying, but don't become defensive. Try to find out if that's truth or not. If you find out that maybe you're wrong, then go for that. Try to distance yourself from falsehood and always. That's the halacha of Sanigarin. The next halacha, Uminayin Ledayin Shla Yeshiv Talmud Bor Lefanav. Where do we know that a judge should not have an ignoramus student sitting in front of him when he's in the middle of having a court case, so that because usually the students that are there, they get involved in the discussion, and he's going to make him make a mistake because this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. That's also learned from the pasuk where distance yourself from falsehood, because you're going to have such a student, he's going to mislead you, and he's going to say something that's not according to the 100% honesty, and it's going to cause perversion in the halacha. Where do we know regarding a judge that he knows that his colleague on the court case is a robber, or vasotu v'chein aid? Let's say there's a witness. Sheidei b'chaveri shugazli, knows that his colleague, the other witness, is a robber. Minayin shloit starfi may, from where do we know that he cannot combine with him? Meaning, even though he knows that the testimony is true, but even though he's saying the truth, but he knows that the one that's testifying with him is a eid chamas, which is not qualified to be a witness. How do we know that he shouldn't combine with him? That's what it teaches, that you should distance yourself from words of falsehood, which is to cause that the judgment should be based on two witnesses, where here there's no two witnesses, only one judge, one witness, or one judge, because the other judge is puzzle, and therefore, even though you're saying the truth, but distance yourself from falsehood because the other one is not qualified. And the fourth halacha, minayin ledayin, from what do we know regarding a judge? Sheidei bedin shehu meruma, he knows that the verdict is perverted, because he could tell from the words of the witnesses that they're not saying the truth, but he can't disprove them, and they're two witnesses who they're believed in court. Shalom yemen, that the judge should not say, look, the witnesses are testifying, I'll decide based on what they're saying, and let it be as we continue to have of Kyler, let the chain of the sin be taller b'tzavar edim, that will hang on the neck of the witnesses. What should I do? I'm just a judge. They're saying, I know it looks like that they're lying, but I can't disprove them. I'll do it based on what they're saying and let them carry the sin. So the pasuk says, no, Tamalama teaches midvashekatircha. Distance yourself from falsehood. Even though it's not straight out falsehood, but you could tell, distance yourself from that and don't just allow that to go on, even though you know there's a miscarriage of justice, then don't go along with that procedure. That's also learned out from midvashekatircha. And as the Gemara continues, learning out other drashas on the next daf, in the pasuk of midvashekatircha.